From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Great show for you today. Later on this hour, former White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan will be our guest to play our game. Now, I know you might be saying to yourself, Scott has been on every single talk show from Letterman to Fresh Air. The question is, why one more media appearance? What's left to say? Well, I would remind you that our game for our celebrity guests involves answering questions about things you know nothing about. And as he reveals in his memoir, that's exactly what he was doing during his years at the White House. Although, as it turns out, he didn't know he was doing that. He'll explain. Anyway, he'll be totally ready for us. But are you? Call us up at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Fred from Douglas, Massachusetts.
Hey, how are things in Douglas?
Oh, fantastic. Have you
ever been to Douglas State Forest?
Absolutely, all the time.
That is where I was a forest ranger for 3 summers when I was in college.
Really?
No kidding. Wallam Lake.
Wallam Lake. You bet.
Wait. You were a forest ranger?
I was.
No.
Did you wear the hat? No, they didn't give us hats. They gave us Smokey the Bear patches, which I still
love. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
We weren't hat rangers. We were undercover rangers.
Fred, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a Boston Globe writer and author most recently of Moving the Chains, Tom Brady and the Pursuit of Everything, Mr. Charlie Pierce. Say hello to him. Next, say hello to the woman behind the syndicated advice column Ask Amy, Ms. Amy Dickinson. And lastly, a humorist and author, most recently of Long Time Leaving, Dispatches from Up South, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Popular.
Fred, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle will start us off by reenacting 3 quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just 2 of them, you'll win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Here's your first quote.
In 2006... former President George Bush did it with Anna Kournikova at a celebrity tennis event, and he was 82 at the time.
That was Jim Rutenberg of the New York Times talking about a gesture that Barack and Michelle Obama did as they took the stage to claim victory last week that a lot of people got real excited about. What?
That would be the so-called terrorist fist bump?
The terrorist fist bump,
terrorist,
yes.
No. Terrorist fist jab.
All right. We'll get to it. As Obama took the stage the night of the last primary, he was seen on national TV giving a little fist bump, or as the hip kids say, a dap, to his wife, followed by a thumbs up. So everybody goes nuts. Cable news shows are examining it. They're playing it in slow-mo like the Zapruder tape. What does this mean, this knuckly percussion? On Fox News, anchor E.D. Hill introduced a segment on it by saying, quote, a fist bump, a pound, a terrorist fist jab, the gesture everyone seems to interpret differently, unquote. Her show was subsequently canceled. We say, you know, Barack and Michelle Obama can do anything they like. They can fist bump, they can high five, they can leap up and bump their chests as long as they do not subject us to another Al and Tipper Gore lip lock, please.
Instead of a fist bump, they could do the bump. You know, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
That's the hustle.
Oh, that's the hustle. What was the bump?
I don't know if it was ever a song. I think the bump was just sort of a thing. I don't think it ever had a theme song.
I don't want to do the bump with no big fat woman. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right. That was a very good song. And
I wrote that song.
I didn't think it was possible. We're sounding even less hip than E.D. Hill.
I was about to say.
I mean, did she really think that, you know, in the caves at Tora Bora, they were all sort of sitting there going to each other? I mean,
she, in fairness to her, she was quoting something else in the tease.
Yes.
It was just a tease gone bad.
Mm-hmm. It was a tease gone bad.
Yeah, it was, but you know.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Here is your next quote.
I will veto every single beer. A bill.
That was someone who either was showing his age or doing his best to lose the frat boy vote in November. Who?
That'd be John McCain.
It would be. So everybody's going on about the Obama fist bump. And his opponent tries to get the conversation back to the real issue of the campaign. Mainly, is John McCain losing it, or is he just messing with our heads? So, as you heard, John McCain was trying to make a strong statement about what he would do to bills with earmarks, and instead he denounced beer. What was it? Why was he thinking of that? Had he been told that he needs to stop drinking it if he doesn't want to get up every 2 hours? What?
Isn't Cindy sort of in the beer business?
Cindy is in the beer business. Yeah. Actually, the best explanation is he was going to say bill with year marks. Mm. Bill,
oh,
year.
Beer.
Beer.
Right.
I think I saw Jane Goodall do this act.
Still, you know, nonetheless, it's this kind of campaign, constant defense, constant attack. Senator Obama aggressively responded to a slip-up. He said that while the McCain-Bush policy was to veto beer, he would support the right of all Americans to enjoy beer, which Obama says he's been told is a refreshing hops-based beverage oft enjoyed by the common folk. All right, here is your last quote.
Damn! I spent $399 on mine, and now they're selling it for $199. I hate you, Apple!
That was a California man named Stan Roberts. He was giving the San Francisco Chronicle his reaction to the newly unveiled what?
The iPhone.
Right! Ooh. It's been a year since Apple launched the phone that has become the de facto mistress of many a tech geek. And so once again, the crowds gathered to watch Steve Jobs don his magical mock turtleneck, ascend to the stage at an Apple convention in the manner of Moses with rimless glasses, and reveal to us all his latest exciting innovation, namely that all 5 million of us who bought the thing last year are suckers! The new and improved iPhone, iPhone 3G, was designed in response to some of the complaints about the first version, that it was too slow, that it lacked certain functions businesses need, and that it never ever said, I love you, back. Really, I said to my iPhone, I'll never leave you for a younger version. I won't.
But what if she's really cheap?
Yeah. And I am told the new version is somewhat slimmer.
Yeah.
So.
I think you might be buying two after that.
Carl, how did Fred do in our quiz?
Fred was perfect, Peter. Three correct answers, so Fred, you win our prize.
Well done, Fred.
All right, Fred.
Telephone ring, telephone ring, telephone ring.
Telephone, won't you ring? I've been waiting here for such a long time.
We want to remind everyone they can join us here at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to chicagopublicradio.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org.